Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear and give us a portion from your throne in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 77. In Psalm 77, starting in verse 1, the Word of God says, I love that it's the Word of God that says, we have in our possession the Word of God. God gave it to us, and we have it in our possession. And whoever desires can have as much as they want. That is amazing to me. In verse 1, the Word of God says, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. Isn't that amazing? He remembered God and he was troubled. Why was he troubled when he remembered God? Because he remembered what he used to have and now he was aware of what was lacking. And it troubled his heart. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Stop and think about that for a minute. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Why? Because the only place that I have to complain to is God. I have no person to complain to. I only can complain to God. Why? Because God's the only one who can do anything about it anyway. If I complain to another person, I can infest them with negativity if I complain to the wrong one. So I complain to God and I bring him my complaint. But here he was far from God and he did not bring his complaint. When I don't bring my complaint to God, my soul is overwhelmed. If I bring my complaint to God, my soul is comforted. Thou heldest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. He's saying, I remember what it was like when I was walking with God. By the way, whenever you get into a situation, and most of us will go there at some point in our lives where we're a little bit backslidden, remember the times when you were right, when it was rich with God. Go there again. The things that you used to do when it was rich with God, I believe for most of you, the things you are doing now. But when you get to that place, the things that you used to do when it was rich with God, do them again. Go back to that place. The place is still there. You have been removed. But the place is still there. But you can go back. You can always go back. You can always go back to God so long as your capacity is still even slightly opened. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Have you ever been there? When you get to a place and things are hard and you say, will the Lord cast off forever? Will He forget me? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah, think about this. Are these things so? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also on all Thy work and talk of Thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? the times when I am tempted to put something ahead of God, I am actually tempted towards idolatry. Because an idol is anything that I put ahead of the will of God in my life. But ask yourself in those times, who is so great a God as our God? What is so great in my life as God is to me? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah, think about that. Think about that. That you have redeemed your people. God has redeemed you. And think about the things He has done for you. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, and the skies sent out a sound. Thine arrow also went abroad. God fought for me. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lighted the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. In the life of every believer, there may come certain things. In the life of some believers, they certainly will come. There are two types of believers who have a life in which God has a prominent role. There are those believers to whom God is prominent, and there are those believers to whom God is everything. It is entirely possible for me as a believer to have God as a very important part of my life, but not to have God to be my life. God will test that. And the way that He will test it is He will see if there is anything else that is prominent along with Him. And one of the ways He does that is He puts me in solitary places. See, one of the most difficult trials, I believe, for the believer is to be alone. But God will bring people there. He will cause them to be alone to see whether they will stay alone with God. Or maybe they will not stay alone with God. Maybe they will say to themselves, this is a lonely place, and I need. And so they will start to pursue their need rather than pursuing the one who fills their need. Never in your lives pursue your needs. Always pursue the one who fills your needs. God is faithful to meet every need that I have. I cannot meet those needs, although I can try to pursue after them. This is the difference between the believer who lives in the need of their soul and the believer who lives in a fellowship with God in their spirit. Because ultimately that believer will be brought into a place where they are alone. If I make the confession in my heart that all that I want is You, God, God will bring me to a place to see if it was real. If I make the confession that I am called to a certain place, God will bring me to the place to see if it was real. If my confession was true, if my heart lines up with my realizations, He will often do that by making me alone. And in those times, I must stand alone with God. There are times when your family will go against you. Possibly. Some of you have been there. There are times when other people will go against you. There are times when you say, I am called to something and no one will stand with you. Some of us have been there. The question is, will you stand alone with God? Or will you run toward your need? Standing alone with God is not an easy thing. That is a difficult trial. Because as human beings, we are made not to be isolated. This is why woman was made. Because it was not good for the man to be alone. And so God made the woman for the man. God had designed us in such a way that we need the body of Christ and other portions in our lives. But we do not need them more than we need God's portion in our lives. And there will be times, and I have seen these and some of you have seen these, when you knew that you were in the perfect will of God, when you knew it was the call of God, but no one would stand with you. Sometimes people may tell you it's wrong when you know it is not wrong, that it is right. You may say, they will say to you things like, do you know, let's say our church that has been attacked so much. Our church that has been attacked so much. People come and they say to, hey, don't you know about that church? What do you know about that church? The things that you have read by the accusers of the brethren? Is that the fruit that you are looking for? The fruit of the accuser of the brethren? Or perhaps listening in your own ears to the accusations against the brethren from the atmosphere that will prevent you from standing in what you know is truth. Or maybe against yourself, or maybe against your abilities. Because you got to realize something, you won't have the ability. Don't listen to accusations about your ability because you don't have it. Agree with them. Yeah, you're right, I can't do it. But my God is more than able. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So in those times when you stand alone, you will be standing alone with God. In John 16:32, the Word of God says, this was Jesus talking, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone. This was Jesus talking, because the Father is with me. And in Mark 14:37, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane under tremendous demonic attack, because the next day he was going to the cross and Satan wanted him to shed the blood before the cross. It says, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping. He took his disciples with them, some of them, and he said, keep me company for this time. He said, be with me. For this time, be a support unto me for this time, disciples. Be with me. Keep my hands up like Moses when they were in the wilderness and the battle was raging. And if his hands were held high, the battle went well. But if his hands fell down, the battle went poorly. And his arms got tired. So they came and they held up his arms. And Jesus wanted, in a manner of speaking, his disciples to hold up his arms because the battle was raging. And they wouldn't. They fell asleep. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Could not you be faithful in the trial, in the test? Couldn't you abide in the test with your Savior? Couldn't you abide in the test in your calling? Couldn't you abide in the test with the people you were called to? Couldn't you be faithful for 1 hour? It was the hour of testing. And the Savior needed them there. And he says to them, can't you just be faithful, not even for 1 hour? You see, God will lead us into those places. God will lead us into those places. Why does He lead us into those places? What is it what happens to a person when they get alone? Maybe they get very lonely. And loneliness is not sin necessarily in and of itself. The Savior was lonely. Maybe they get very lonely. Why does God allow that in a believer's life to be alone and then lonely? Because the Savior was. Do you really want to identify with Christ? Do you really want to be conformed to His image? Then go where the Savior went. The Savior said to the disciples, "At first you will not be able to follow me, but later you will go where I am." I go where He was. And I go where He is. And there was a time when He was alone, where no one stood with Him, but He stood alone with God. As a believer, I will at times be asked to stand alone with God. Why? Because in Romans 8:17, "And if children, then heirs." We are His children and we are His heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs with Him, so we must receive what He received. What did He receive? He received the cross. There were times when He received loneliness. There are times when He received tiredness and exhaustion and abandonment. But it continues, "If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." There is glory to be found in the suffering with the Savior. That's not glory as in high estimation in people's opinions. Glory is a tangible physical thing that we receive as a reward in heaven. It is a coat. And we will be clothed in a coat of glory. Not every believer, but many believers that were willing to stand alone will be, because they suffered with the Savior. You see, God calls you into these things so He can give you the privilege of identifying with Him. This is one of the reasons why running out of a trial or out of a call is such a dangerous, terrible thing. Why? Because God gave you the opportunity to identify with Him, and you would not. I can't do that as a believer if I want to be in God's glory. I have an opportunity from God, and I think it's a curse because I'm so oriented to my own emotions. But I can't think that way. It is not thinking in truth. It is thinking in subjectivity with an initiation from the atmosphere. I have to think in truth when things like this come. And yes, maybe they will be hard, and standing alone certainly is hard, but I stand anyway because I stand alone with the Father. So I am alone without man, but I am alone with my God. And in the end, that's the only way I can stand, is to stand alone with my God. Because whether I like it or not, in the end, I will stand alone before my God. And then He will ask me, "Would you stand alone with me? Did you do it? Did you run when it became hard, or were you faithful? Did you keep up the arms of your Savior? Did you keep up the arms of your church or of your pastor or of the people that you were called to? Did you keep up the arms of your friends in Christ? Or did you run to the comfort of the world?" No. I stand alone with God. But if I stand alone, I stand alone with God. I'd rather stand alone with God than with a million people to comfort me without Him. There is no comfort without Him. There's only a sublimation, there may be a distraction, but there's no comfort. And eternity is coming. Eternity is coming. How long before your eternity arrives? Do you know the number of days? Because this, David said, "Teach me to number my days." You may not have years, and God doesn't count it in years. God counts it in days. I may have several thousand, or I may have several, or I may have one, or maybe I don't even have that many. I have no way of knowing that. So when God says, "Stand alone in the dark places," then stand, but I will stand there with you. Oh, you can run to the comforts of the world. You can run out of the pressures of the circumstances. But then I cannot stand with you. You see, Jesus stood. He stood. in Deuteronomy 18, you may be asked to stand alone. You may not be given a portion here, but that's okay. We are believer priests unto God. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood, a holy nation and a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood. We are like the Levites of old, except we are after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. But we are the Levites of the church age. And what was given to the Levites as an inheritance? Well, in Deuteronomy 18, verse 1, the priests, the Levites, and all the tribes of Levi, get this, shall have no part nor inheritance with the Lord, no, with Israel. They will have no part or inheritance in the world. They will have no part or inheritance on a horizontal plateau. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and His inheritance. They were not to be given a possession. They were not to be given a possession, but what did they have? They had something that God gave them. You see, all of Israel was supposed to give one-tenth to the Levites. So all of Israel remained with nine-tenths. But the Levites from 11 tribes received one-tenth. The Levites remained with 11-tenths with no possession. You see, as a believer priest, as a priest unto God, I stand alone, yes, but I receive greater than I've ever stood with the world. Far greater. Because I receive an inheritance and a portion from God and not from what I can produce on my own and not from what the world can give me. In Psalm 73 and verse 25, whom have I in heaven but Thee? Who do I have in heaven but You, God? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What does that portion mean? Helek, portion or share or territory. God is the place that I walk. God leads me into these things. God is my part and He takes care of me. This is why He gives me a calling, so He can take care of me there. God is my portion. Even if I stand alone, He stands with me. And Psalm 142 and verse 5, I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. You see, in Deuteronomy 10:9, wherefore Levi hath no part in the inheritance with his brethren. He had something better. Why? The brethren of Levi received the earth as their inheritance, chunks of ground. The earth's going to pass away. Their inheritance was not permanent. The earth's going to pass away. But with Levi, the Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. What did the Lord God promise him? He promised him a special portion of the presence of God. He promised to take care of him. He promises to take care of all your needs. So you can stand alone very easy. Your needs are not just your material needs. Your needs are those things that you need to be a healthy human being who is living with God. God promises to meet those things. I don't have to meet them. God promises them. So if I'm asked to stand alone, I stand alone with God. And He takes care of my needs. He becomes my portion and He becomes my inheritance. Every believer who is willing will be brought to the place of standing alone. Every believer who is willing to stand alone will receive a special portion from God that other believers will not. You see, there is the question. Is God a important part of your life? Or is God all of your life? if he is an important portion, an important part, then he was equal to other parts perhaps. Or at least he is in competition. But then, that is idolatry. But if he is my life, if he is my life, then he will take me to places I might not otherwise go. He might ask me of things that I may not otherwise do. Why? Because he can. Because he can. Why did Jonah go to Nineveh? Because there were many people there who needed a Savior. Jonah did not want to go, but God took him there. Why? Because God could. Don't you realize that those times when you are standing before God alone and standing with Him with no one else, those are the times when God is revealing to you what it means to live with Him. Those are the times when He is revealing to you what it means that He is your portion, that He is faithful and true to you. Those are the times when He is revealing to you what it means is that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Those are the times. Oh, we all read them in the Bible, but do we know them in our lives? We will if we are willing to stand alone with God. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. This happens happened to Paul. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16, and my first answer, why did they not? Listen to this. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. The persecution came. The danger came. The difficulty came. The unpleasant circumstance came. The trial came. And no man stood with me, he said. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and by me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. What would happen if Paul said to the all men who forsook him, you know, I'm going to go with you guys. I wouldn't be saved. What would happen if the man of God that brought you to Christ left when all forsook him? Because I'll guarantee you, in many cases, that is exactly what happened to get to you. Then you wouldn't be saved. It will happen to any heart that is willing. It will happen to any heart that is willing. Your lives are not about the ease. They're about getting to know God. They're not about your comfort. They're about getting to know God. Do you understand that? Your lives are about getting to know God. If you are willing, then He will take you there. If you are not, then He will let you have what you desire. But your loss will be eternal. You won't lose your salvation. You can't lose that. But the rewards and the opportunities and the intimacy with God that you could have had, you will never possess if you are not willing. Have a willing heart before God. In all things, have a willing heart before God. If He calls you into a place that is difficult, like some mission fields are difficult, some people are difficult, some circumstances are difficult, but they are all from God. There is not one greater than the other or lesser. They are all from God. If He calls you into the difficult, will you be willing to stand? If you are, He will stand with you. If you are not, you will have as much as you can gain for yourselves. When Jesus gave the hard saying, only a handful stayed. Those were the ones who got to know Him. Perhaps others were saved, but those were the ones who got to know Him. Sometimes you will be alone because you serve God. And everybody and everything seems to come against you, like with Elijah in 1 Kings 19. And Elijah says to God, after he got discouraged because it seemed like no one would stand with him, Elijah said to God, God, I am alone and left. And what did God do? He sent an angel to comfort him. He didn't rebuke him because his heart was not wrong before God. He was a human who got discouraged. And so God sent the angel to pick his arms up. If you are alone, then God will send angels to pick your arms up. And what happened then? God comforted him and He gave him definition. And He asked him, Elijah, what are you doing here? He wasn't mad. He asked, Elijah, what are you doing here? He said, God, I alone am left. Nobody else is faithful to you. And God said, you know what, Elijah? I have 700 more. Now pick yourself up and strengthen yourself and follow me in my calling. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what God said to Elijah. You see, in 1 John 4:4, we have overcome them that come against us. Why? Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. He is greater and He is in us. So in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation, that's your lifestyle. Your lifestyle, your decisions, your speech, the things that you involve yourself in. All the things that make up your life, let them be without covetousness. Let them be without wanting. Why? Because there is only one thing that you do want. You see, this is why some people won't stand alone with God, because that is, He is not the only thing they want. By the way, He is the only thing you can have. Oh, you may think you can have an ungodly relationship. How many young people go after some guy or some girl and they leave God because they think that there is something to be found in that person, and there is nothing to be found in that person. There is heartache to be found in that person, and nowadays there is worse than heartache to be found. Oh, it's an illusion, and they follow the illusion and they make decisions based on the illusion because they have been deceived, just like Satan did in heaven before he became Satan. What happened to him? He had an illusion. And his emotions got wounded. And he followed and started making decisions on the basis of those emotions. And that is what God calls iniquity. Now, let your lifestyle, your everything about you be without covetousness, without wanting, and be content with such things as you have. For He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what God said to us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Psalm 119:57, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep Thy words. Do you know people who have said, this is my call, this are His words, this is what I am going to be true to? Were they or were they not? But guarantee you, if they said it at least in their heart, God will test it. I've heard people say to a pastor, you're my pastor, I'm going to be true. This is where I'm called. You are my pastor. My heart is knit with you. and then they leave because of their emotions. Pursuing an illusion. Because perhaps the pastor gave a hard saying and God brought in a test. And then their emotions took over. God tested their saying to see whether their word was true in their own heart. They recognized what God had given them for a season. But when it got hard, when they had to stand, they were not willing. If I am alone, then God says, you're not alone, there's 700 more. And in Psalm 68:6, He said it to solitary and families. God will bring me people who will stand with me if I am alone. And He will encourage me and He will comfort me. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But get this. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. If I am alone because I stood with God, then God will bring people to me to stand with me. And He may have a season when I am alone, but ultimately He will bring people to me to stand with me. But if I am alone because I have been rebellious, then I simply remain in a dry land. And because the pressures may be relief for a while, perhaps I feel good in that dry land. But it's still dry. God leads me into a call. And that is my provision. And outside of it, I am in a dry land. And Deuteronomy 4:23, take heed unto yourself. This is important for us to remember. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image. Don't make yourself something other than what God had given you. Or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And the very thing that I pursued for my comfort, for my pleasure, for my emotions, for my happiness, that are outside of God, God will consume them. God will consume them. I knew a man one time who heard hard sayings, couldn't humble himself in front of the pastor with those hard sayings. And you know what happened? He ran. You know how he ended up? He didn't feel good in the hard sayings, so he went after what felt good. And because he had removed himself from his provision, he started following old patterns of life and old lust patterns. And he got hung up in cocaine. And in his trials with cocaine, he lost his life. Because he thought he would be fine just because he could make right decisions outside the place of his calling. Because his emotions were relieved from the hard saying. But he did not find that there. He did not find the comfort there. What did he find? He found that his lust patterns grew and grew and grew and grew, and he found that his old patterns in his old life before he was saved came back to him. Why? Because the flesh has not been eradicated. The flesh for a season had been pushed aside, but as soon as I leave the place of my calling, the flesh comes back up again. Why? Because that thing which kept the flesh subdued had been removed from his life. He had a cocaine problem before he got saved. He had a cocaine problem again after he got saved because he removed his heart from the place of his call, and then he removed himself from the place of his call, and it killed him. This is why the pastor says things like, never leave your call. Because he knows what the results are. He has seen them before. They're devastating. Even when you think it's good because you feel better for a season, even if you go into a religious performance, it's just religious. It's not the call. And you say, oh, I'm all happy here now. You're happy because your emotions are responding to the lack of conviction that was making them squeezed to get you into a right place with God. That's what the heart saying was about. To bring us to a right place with God. This is why it's so important to learn how to hear properly. So I can be in a right place with God. It takes humility. My friend, and he was my friend, he was a good friend. He's in eternity. He died at 50. At 50, he should have lived for at least another 30 years. He was a healthy guy. 3 decades of opportunities lost because he would not stand still. He didn't stand with God. He didn't realize that he is a consuming fire and a jealous God. So God said, okay, fine, you want to run, I'm taking you home. And you will not run anymore. That's what happened to him. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's a promise in the Bible, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. I can't say I will seek first the kingdom of God, but outside of my call. No, then you are not seeking the kingdom of God at all. Then you are seeking the appeasing of your conscience as your emotions are making your decisions to run from God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Why? Because in Ephesians 3:20 he's able to do abundantly above all I can ask or think. I cannot provide for myself the way he can provide for me. Not in a million years could I provide for myself the way he can provide for me. Don't let some person take you out of your call. Don't let some job take you out of your call. Don't let an education take you out of your call. Don't let circumstances, don't let money, don't let anything take you out of your call. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things, every single last one of them will be added unto you. And they will be above all you can ask or think. When I am alone, God will send the Comforter to comfort me. And He will comfort me. When I am alone, God will not lose compassion on me. He will pour compassion onto me. This is what the Holy Spirit is for in my life. Yes, He guides me in all truth, but He also comforts me. That is why He is called the Comforter. He also comforts me. When I stand alone with God, He stands with me. When I stand alone with God, that's where I find His faithfulness. When I stand alone with God, that's where I find His compassions, and I find that His mercies do not fail. When I stand alone with God, that is where I find His provisions specifically for me. When I stand alone with God, that is where I find the riches in dark places. When I stand alone with God, that is where I find the glory of God. When I stand alone with God, that is where I learn to reign. But I have to stand alone. He will not make me to do anything. He will not violate my free volition. So it is entirely up to me whether I be willing or not. But if I am, if I am willing, then I will find that He will stand with me. That He will never leave me. I'll find that He will never leave me and He will never forsake me. But I have to stand with Him. You see, so many people are lonely. And sometimes it is because they stood with God. And sometimes it is because they made mistakes and because of pride. If I made mistakes, then God will quickly take me back the moment I turn. If it is because I stand with Him, then He will comfort me with comfort that is indescribable with words. Because it is comfort from within that goes to the without. But if I stand alone with God, I will always stand with Him and not without Him. Amen.